All right, you'll never look at dogs the same again after this year. Yeah?
Really?
This is Ronnie's sponsor, so I'll have to mention that.
It's not a pro Zoe? Pet. It's not Zoe. A pro pet.
You'll have to wait to see. So we'll start with a classic joke. Tell me if you heard this one. Did you hear about the dyslexic, agnostic, insomniac?
Yes.
You know this one, right? Stayed up all night wondering if there's really a dog.
No, I don't get it.
You don't get it. He's dyslexic, he's an agnostic, and he's an insomniac. So he's an insomniac, stays up all night. He's an agnostic, he doesn't believe in dyslexia. He's not sure if he believes in dog. You got it? Okay, good.
Okay, dog.
The Marvin Cohen's are there in front of you. Let's see what we can get through. Because this is our official 3D share, even though the 3D glasses are not here tonight. So the concept of this share is to go in layers of depth into what we're going to talk about. So we'll start with the pasuk. We'll see how many layers we can permeate. Pasuk says, "V'chol b'nei Yisrael la'yecharat kelev l'shaynoi," and to all of the Jewish people, a dog won't do something called yecharat, his lashon, his language, or his shinayim, maybe. It's a very difficult to translate. Lashona would seem to mean his language.
Lashona's not a tongue?
Yeah, maybe his tongue, but okay, you have to figure out if that's a metaphor or not. But, and then what does it mean, yecharat?
Yecharat is to sharpen?
Sharpen his tongue. So then it has to be a metaphor. Anyway, so it's very difficult to translate, but whatever it is, towards all of the Jewish people, a dog will not do something. L'me'ish v'ad behema, whether it's a human being or an animal. Why? L'man teidun asher yafle, so that you will know the distinction that a Kadosh Baruch Hu makes between Mitzrayim and Yisrael, between Jew and Egyptian. So, few things going on over here.
This is the pasuk.
Pasuk. Yeah, Perak Yud Aleph, Pasuk Zayin. It's right after Makas Bechiris is told to Paroi. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, but. So that's one thing that's okay, so let's go through the questions. Number one, the pasuk could have been much simpler. You could have said something along the lines of, Vekelev lo yafchid le'ish mimin Yisrael. A dog won't scare anybody. Right? You could have said it like that. It doesn't say it like that. It says it very differently. It says the action of the dog, and it says, but to B'nai Yisrael, this won't happen. So, first things first. The pasuk is making a contrast. You know what I mean by a contrast? This is not a good way to begin a sentence. And to all the Jewish people, meaning you must have been saying something else, as opposed to the Jewish people. You know what I'm saying? So, in other words, the pasuk is beginning, but not to the Jews. Then they're going to be different. Why? What came before this? So it's contrasting whatever came before. But to the Jewish people, even a dog is not going to, we'll say, we'll call it barking. Secondly,
that's how the yards were touched it, barking. Right? It is barking.
Could be. That's fine with me. But you have to admit, it's an interesting way to say it.
Yeah.
And who cares about the barking? Just talk about the consequence, that the dogs won't scare anybody. You have to spell out the barking. Secondly, exactly. So the wording about what the dog will do is interesting. It doesn't say, the gavra, it doesn't speak about scaring or hurting, the impact, the feelings of the person. The focus is on the action of the dog. The dog's not going to do this. Assumingly, the point is because we don't want the dog to scare anyone, right? We'll talk about that too. But that's just the ha'ara. That's the ha'ara. He's not talking about the feelings of the person.
The dogs will scare anyone. Don't be worried. The dogs, if you see the dogs, are not going
to bark. But the point is that the pasuk is going out of its way to spell out the action of the dog. It's not focusing on the impact it'll have on people. It's just the dog's not going to do it. Okay. What action exactly is being referred to?
That's partial. They're not going to be scared of dogs.
Yes, they are.
I'm scared of
dogs. Yeah, so we'll talk it out. What action exactly is being referred to over here? Lo yecharat kelev l'shoinoi. What exactly does it mean? Is that the only way to say bark? Is that a good way to say bark in Lashon Kodesh? Yecharat kelev l'shoinoi. It seems like a pretty fanciful way to say bark. Okay, whatever. Pasuk makes it clear that the basic purpose is to distinguish Jew from Mitzri. That's important. If someone will ask you, what was the point of this? It seems pretty clear from the pasuk. It's to distinguish, to make it clear that there is a difference between Mitzrayim and Yisrael. Are dogs the only animal that makes noise? What about that? Like the crickets and the frogs? Are they also not going to make any noise?
They're unnoticeable.
Because you'll notice it doesn't talk about the fear of the Jewish people or the annoyance. It talks about the animal not doing it. So is it not? Is not the point? Like what?
I think it's very common. If you see a dog, you're walking the street, It's not normal for a dog to just sit still.
So that kind of like begs at the next question, or the next two questions. Number one, why is this significant enough to mention? Like, who cares? And the last question is, why would the dogs be barking? So that's what you're getting at. Like, well, because there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of movement.
Dogs bark.
It's not so partial, by the way, that there was movement in Mitzrayim. Because why? When are the dogs not going to bark?
When they leave.
In the morning? In the middle of the night? Because we're speaking, Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to Pare, and he's saying, all the Bechorim Mitzrayim are going to die, but where Klal Yisrael is, even the dog's not going to bark. But why would the dogs be barking now? Everyone's eating their Korban Pesach. I mean, they're in the street, you know, leaving Mitzrayim, that's not until the morning. So, okay, why are the dogs barking? What?
Even though they're eating the Korban Pesach.
Yeah, so
maybe
they
the
would...
dogs want it, it's meat. They're excited.
So it could be. Maybe they smell. Maybe they smell the meat. You know, smell the other night. Okay, anyway, so we have to explain why they're barking. In any case, so those are the questions. So let's go level one. Level one. There's a contrast here between what's going on by the Mitzrim and what's going on by the Eden. So you have the Ksav, the Kabbalah. So he writes over here, he translates it as like a wagging of the tongue, you know, the movement of the tongue, to bark. Neged zakas kol yalala shishma ben haMitzrim. As opposed, that's the contrast. By the Mitzrim is going to be screaming, it's going to be, you know, everyone's dying, everyone's crying, and everyone's screaming. But where the Jews are living, so even there won't even be the barking of a dog. Because it seems like it's the contrast between the tumult that's happening by the Mitzrim, the peace and quiet that's happening by. That's why I was asking the question about what about the crickets and the frogs? Like, is there nothing else making noise? If the point is to contrast, it's like nice and quiet and peaceful. So then maybe the crickets shouldn't be making noises or anything else. Why is it bedafka the dogs? Because the Mitzvah were freaking out because of the death. Certainly was unnatural. Can I be quiet, peaceful? No worries, no fears. Even the scary bark of a dog, which does happen at night, that scares people, no, that's not going to exist at all. So that's just step one. It's to contrast the tumult by the Mitzrim, peace and quiet by the Jews. Number two, not only are the Jews not going to suffer from Makas Bechoreis, they're not going to suffer at all. Because this Makah, which has consequences, is like collateral damage. It's going to make the dogs bark because everybody's screaming. The dogs are going to bark. There's not even going to be any collateral damage, no suffering at all by the Yidin. So the Bechor Shor, Lo Yecharatz Kelev L'Shoinai, Shum Hezek, Lo Yava Lehem, no damage at all. No, the focus is not on the peace and quiet, or the contrast. The focus is on they won't suffer from the Makkah.
Who will?
Bnei Yisrael. Because the consequence of the Makkah to the Mitzrayim is that because there's such a tumult in Mitzrayim, the dogs are going to start going crazy.
Dogs are dying.
Maybe the dogs are going to... This is going to be the Bechori animals too. But in addition to that, the dogs are going to want to bark because of everything going on.
Right.
So that's a suffering. The Jews are going to suffer. Sorry, but that's a consequence of Makas Bechori. No,
Didn't say the Mitzrayim were quiet.
No, it wasn't quiet. But Pasha wasn't quiet by the Mitzrayim.
So that doesn't disturb the...
So that's where the animals won't bark.
Maybe the sound ended by
I
the border. I can tell you.
Dogs have a sense. I don't know. They can sense.
Yes. Yes. But the point I'm just making is that in the very basic pshat, there's a difference between the contrast that there is tumult versus quiet. Bechor Shor's angle on it seems to be there's no fallout. Like, the Yidden aren't going to be impacted by Makas Bechoris. It's not going to hurt them. Nothing. Even the sounds of the dogs aren't going to exist towards them. That's just interesting. You know, maybe the dog's sound is more frightening than other things. I don't know. You know, you got to play with the details in the pshat over here. So there are a lot of mepharshim that get in on this in the very pashut pshat. There's dead bodies and maybe the smell of meat, and some want to say that the Jews were supposed to eat their korban pesach with their walking stick in hand. Maybe some of them left to get some fresh air or something, and the dogs would want to bark at them. So later on in history. So
I'm sorry. I guess I'm not on my A game with the jokes tonight.
So, in any case, that's just the pashup shot. Level one is that the dogs are going to bark because there's a lot going on. And so these are the agendas.
When did Makas Bechoris start? After they ate the Korban Pesach?
Seems that way.
Midnight. Bechatzos
halayla. They finished the Korban Pesach already, then
not. Machlekes, I guess, you know? But yeah. So just one small Ha'ara Hutner in his Mamarim. See, he writes that Chazal say that the dog is the biggest mechutzav of the animals. Yeah, the biggest mechutzav of the animals is the dog. I was wondering about this because we say, Havi Oz Kanamer. That it seems like
a leopard.
Yeah, it sounds like they have more azus. They have more chutzpah than the dog.
Not leopard. So no, they're just.
So it sounds like there maybe there's a positive and a negative here.
Is there a difference between azus and chutzpah?
I don't think so. Maybe how it's expressed. Maybe that's the idea. Is that like the cat? Like he doesn't really care what you do. You know, he sits there like this. Like you know, he couldn't care less what you do. The dog, however, like barks at you.
Yeah.
So there's a difference in the chutzpah over here. Maybe there's a more positive element to the chutzpah, meaning I can do what I'm going to do and I don't care what you do. That's very positive. As opposed to the dog's chutzpah, which is like to attack and to make noise, and like maybe that's not an ideal chutzpah in any way, shape, or form. In any case, so Rav Huttner writes, what's the chutzpah of the dog exactly? So he claims, my wife complains about this with the rabbit, right? We have the rabbit. The rabbit like does its own thing. We like to pet the rabbit. It's so soft. But the rabbit doesn't come up to us and be like, I'd like to be pet right now.
Yeah, he does that.
No, he doesn't. The dogs do it. The dogs come up to you and man's best friend. Man's best friend. So Fertner says, the chutzpah of the dog is that he thinks like he belongs. Like he's a member of the family. Yeah? 2 kids and half a dog? No, 2.5 kids and a dog. Whatever it is. You know, what are the statistics? That he's a member of the family. That's the chutzpah of the dog. Ah. So the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, when the whole point is to distinguish Jew from Mitzri, even the dogs usually think that they're a gavra over here. They understood. Not by the Eden. Not by the Eden. Right. Not by the Eden. I'm not part of that.
And
the bark would usually indicate I'm a gavra. I belong here. I do what I want. I'm one of you guys.
Obviously, saying is that the dogs humbled themselves and not.
Yes, that they were kept quiet that night because even the dog realized that the Klal Yisrael this night are being chosen, are being defined, are being determined to be something very different. So I'm not part of that. Okay, now level 2, related to the Malach HaMoves. The barking of the dog may be related to the Malach HaMoves. Yerach Chaim HaKadosh writes, "V'chol b'nei Yisrael v'goyim, tzarech l'das hakavana b'zeh." You have to understand the intention here. V'im lemer shel yamus adam ehem. If the whole point is to say that they're not going to kill anybody, the dogs are going to be nice and calm, they're not going to attack anybody. Ha'ilu lemer b'fesh v'la yamus b'nei Yisrael. Should have focused on a consequence, not the action of the dog. They're not going to kill anyone. Why are we focusing on the dog's bark? Maybe it's talking about the Gemara. Gemara Bavakama Samach Amid Beis says, "Klavim tsoyakim." If you hear dogs crying out, I don't know if it means howling or barking. If you hear dogs doing this thing called tsoyakim, Malach HaMoves Ba'ir, it means the angel of death is in the city. I don't know. It's been a long time since Cujo. You know. So that's why it says to all of Bnei Yisrael. What do you mean? Kedesha Teida. Oh, we'll get to that. There won't be any dogs barking over there. Why not? Whatever is doing the destruction, that we'll have to discuss, is it a Kadosh Baruch Hu or a Malach HaMoves or a Malach HaVala? But you see from here that where Klal Yisrael is, no Chavala. Yeah, we'll talk it out. Right. So that mechabel is not going to be seen among the Jewish people, and that's why there won't be a dog barking. That's what it means. You'll distinguish between the Mitzri and the Jews. Because when the Mitzri bar, the dog's going to be barking, because the Malach HaMoves is over there, or the mechabel. But with Klal Yisrael, none of that is going to be there, so why should the dogs bark? So that's the Orach Chaim's first comment. Another idea, he says. The pasuk says, to the entire Jewish people. You didn't have to say the word kol. Just say, ulu b'nei Yisrael. What's kol b'nei Yisrael? He says, because it has to be that the only people present are Jews. If it's only Jews, then there's not going to be a mechabel. But if there's a mitzri hanging out over there, maybe the mitzri thinks if he hangs out by the Jews, then the Malach HaMoves or whoever, the mechabel won't get to him. He'll save himself by hanging out with the Jews. No, it's not going to work because he'll get him over there. That's what he says. It means kol. That it only works. There's an exception. There's an exception. The dogs are going to bark if there's a mitzri among those Jews. That's obviously very different than the first problem that we're having. No, it's peace among the Jews. It's going to be the contest, not going to impact them. It's a very, very different shot. But the point is that he learns it's connected to the presence of the Malach HaMoves or perhaps a mechabel. Now, what this is makes this very interesting. Is that the Netziv answers like a fundamental question that probably everybody wondered about. We have a mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. Why do we do Pidyon HaBen?
Isn't there a relation to...
Revenue for the coin. It is in one of the Matnas Kuna, Mr. Coin. Yes, it is true. Although I got my coins back when I did it. And,
all of them?
What?
All of them?
All of them? I wasn't expecting them back. I didn't ask for them back. But he gave them back. You don't give them back. No? You gave them?
All of them? Yes.
So, but wait, the question
is. Makes a piece of jewelry for the mother.
Really? Wow.
That's how we like incentivize the real sale if they just give it back.
Well, if you don't want, you can't ask for it later. I mean, there's always matan l'maslahas or whatever, but anyway, questions like this. Why would you do it? Aside from making sure that the coin has some cash, why would we redeem the Bechor?
Because
the Kodesh Baruch didn't kill ours. Because the Kodesh Baruch didn't kill ours, right? Because the Kodesh Baruch saved our Bechorim. They should have died, but they didn't die. The Kodesh Baruch saved them. So that's what gave them their Kedusha. So we have to do Pinyon Aben. Yes, that's what the Pasuk says, right? What's the big kasha on that? Was God planning to kill the Bechor Israel?
No.
So then, what do you mean he didn't kill them? Of course he didn't kill them. Why would he kill them? He had to save them? Save them from what? From the Malach HaMavis? I thought it was only a Kaddish Baruch from a photo of Atzmo.
They had Bris Mila. No,
they had to have Bris Mila, right? That was the whole thing.
No, but that would apply even on
Bechor. I'm sorry. So the Nitziv has a fascinating comment over here. He says, you know what killed the Bechorim? He says, you have to understand Bechorim. Bechorim have a special spiritual sensitivity. The Bechorim are supposed to be the ones that originally did Avoda, right? Until the Chayit HaEgel, and then they got flipped, they got kicked out. But they were supposed to do Avoda. Why was, what was so unique about the Bechor? So the Nitziv says that a Bechor has an innate sensitivity to spirituality. He has a sensitivity to Ruchnias. So when a Kaddish Baruch Hu expressed his Shechina in Mitzrayim, a Kaddish Baruch Hu killed the Bechorim. What do you mean? Because all of the Bechorim, including the non-Jewish Bechorim, they connected to it. They connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam's Shechina. So they wanted to be there, like at Har Sinai. Then the Shalmas left them when they felt the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So then the Bechorim said, that's where we want to be. I don't want to be in a stupid body. I want to be the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So they all died. Wait a minute, so the Bechorim. Yeah, like a Nashika almost, right? So the Nesiv says that's how they died. Yes, that's what he says. You can take a look, here's the paragraph. Underline the line. So whoever was impacted by that Kedusha, he was the one that was damaged, that died. So what did the Kodesh Baruch Hu have to do to Bnei Israel? To save them. They should have died. They should have died. So Kodesh Baruch Hu made a special nes that the Bechor Yisrael, even though they were sensitive to it, he gave them some kind of vaccine, and so they didn't die.
Sensitive to what?
The Hashtros HaShechina, the Gili Shechina.
Maka's Bechor was...
It was Gili Shechina. That's what he learned.
So it wasn't the Maka, it was just...
The Maka was a result of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Bechor Atzmo, coming to Mitzrayim. Like on the Shika type of content.
So were the Mitzrayim themselves on the 50th level of Tumah, right? They were there longer. If so, how does that sort of...
I don't know. That's what he says. It's a fascinating idea. How it works technically, I don't know. But that's what he says.
So it wasn't a punishment. Hashem was threatening them the whole time.
That was the mechanism. How is he going to kill them? He could have sent the Malach HaMavis, but he didn't. This is how he did it. And that's why it was only the Bechorim. It wasn't because they were, you know, earmarked. It was because they were the only ones that were sensitive. So that's how Kesh Baruch did
it. It was like a punishment to me. Down to the world.
Well, they wanted to live, you know. Okay, so that being said, so how does this work with the Malach HaMavis concept? It shouldn't, right? Because where's the Malach HaMavis? Where's the Mechabel? Who's killing anybody over here in Mitzrayim? It's a Kaddish Baruch Hu of Atzmo. So the Nitziv himself has an interesting angle here. When he's talking about the Yecharetz Kelev Lashono, he says, because the nature of a dog is that he barks or howls, whatever, when a stranger comes around him that doesn't belong in his territory. And by the way, he says, dogs recognize spirituality too. Like it says, Yerachayim Gemara in Bava Kamma, he says dogs in particular, because the Gemara says that dogs they howl or cry or something when the Malach HaMavis is in the city. And by the way, they dance around, they get all excited when Eliyahu HaNavi comes to the city. So you have to know dogs. You have to know if they're laughing, if they're playing a game, or if they're crying, if they're upset.
So saying, the Orchaim says, have all the animals...
That's a Gemara.
...who recognize
Yeah, that's a Gemara. Gemara Bava Kamma, Sancha Mavis. Yeah. Dogs recognize ruchnius.
No, no, all animals do.
The Gemara says the dog sensitivity to the Malach HaMagas uniquely, yeah. So for sure, the dogs were sensitive to the ruchnias of Gilui Shechina. So what were they? Why should they be barking that night? What do you mean? They're sensitive to the ruchnias. That's how he learns. And it dovetails with his pshat. It's not pshat that they're barking the Malach HaMavis. That's the Archaim HaKadosh is saying. The Nesiv says, no, who says there's a Malach HaMavis? There's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So if it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu, they're barking because they're sensitive to the ruchnias of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Wow. So then he writes, and certainly there were a whole bunch of Rishayim in Klal Yisrael, right? Halalu of the Avoid Azara, halalu of, they were Jews that did Avoid Azara Mitzrayim. They weren't all such big tzaddikim. They were even Erev Rav and other people that came out from Mitzrayim with them, right? So shouldn't the dogs have barked at them? So he says this is all part of the Nais, that the dogs didn't bark because of the Gili Shechina, and the dogs didn't bark at all the Rishayim as well, so that the Klal Yisrael would have the covid to distinguish that these are Mitzrayim and these are Yidden, the dogs aren't going to bark. That's a pshat and it's it. Now the Chassam Sofer flips everything on its head. And by the way, I saw this pshat as well in Rechaim Kanievsky's Sefer on the Parsha. He says the same word. The Chassam Sofer writes, you know why they didn't bark? Because there was no Malach HaMavis.
Was it Kadosh Baruch
Hu? Is it Kadosh Baruch Hu?
No, but in the pasuk when it talks about Makas Becharis, it says it doesn't say it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It says like we'll save you from. It uses the term like there's going to be.
So there are a couple of problems with this because before we get to the problems, so that's a Sam Sofer and Rav Chaim Kanievsky. They both have this chat that because it was a Kadosh Baruch Hu that killed the Mitzrim with Gilui Shechina, so there was no Malach HaMavis. So that's why the dogs didn't bark. Doesn't sound like the Pashtun and the Pasuk, right? Pashtun and the Pasuk is where the Mitzvah are going to be. It sounds like the dogs will be barking like crazy. But where Bnei Yisrael are, the dogs won't be barking. So that's why they're saying, because there's no Malach HaMavis, no Mechabo by Klal Yisrael. He's suggesting the opposite in a certain way, that dogs aren't going to be barking, anywhere? The other problem is that it does seem that there were more than just the Bechorim that died, right? So I have on the sheet over here, Rashi, for example, writes, there was no house without someone that died. No house.
How about Jews?
So some say, that's Rashi's second shot, is because there were promiscuous people. Some people were Bechor and they didn't know it. But Rashi has another shot. Yesham Bechor Mace. If there was a Bechor, he died. If there wasn't a Bechor, Kodol Shemavayis Kori Bechor. So the oldest person in the house was considered a Bechor. How did he die? Gilui Shechina ain't gonna work for him. Terry says there must have been something else going on. No. Malach HaMavis, no. So Rashi also writes.
Bechor generally refers to the male, right? The females have the same Gilui Shechina? Do they have the same.
I think not, but I don't know. And also, there's another Rashi that writes, Vahashem Hika Kol Bechor. What do you mean, Vahashem? It's like Hashem. What's the Vav doing before Hashem's name, right? So I don't know if you remember this Rashi, but Rashi writes that when it says Vahashem, the Vav in front of Hashem's name, the Vav means who and something else. What's the and something else? Who Beis Dinoi. Now, I'm out of my league here. I don't know exactly who's on the Beis Din. I don't know if the Malach HaMavis is on that committee or not on that committee. But there is an entourage that comes with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So there is a Beis Din.
Malach HaMavis is always a prosecutor.
Oh, we'll get to that too.
Maybe we'll visit that.
Get to that too. Maybe that's in Shemayim though. Maybe it's on the spot. But maybe that's in Shemayim. He says it's on the spot. Does he come with the Kodesh Baruch Hu? Does he come with the Kodesh Baruch
Hu? As a prosecutor, always.
Maybe. I don't know.
Is that annoying? Like prosecutor, right? Always like.
Okay, so that's that. We do have Makaris, and it does say that you're not supposed to leave your house that night because if you leave your house, your home, so then you may end up getting hurt. Why'd you get hurt? It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's not planning to hurt anybody. So maybe there were Malach Chavala. There certainly was a Kadosh Baruch Hu's entourage. Does that include Malach HaMavis? Does it not include Malach HaMavis? I'm not exactly sure. Okay, but that's the middle level. Now we're going to go a little deeper. So there's another chat that says, because remember, we asked the question, why should the dogs be barking punk then at midnight? Why should it be bedavka b'chatzay salayla? What's going on specifically then? So you could say, because everyone started screaming in Mitzrayim, so the dog's like, rah, 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 so they all, chimed in with the, that was good, right? They all chimed in.
I almost got scared for a second.
So it's good to not say it or not, So the Gemara, maybe you know this Gemara. The Gemara, beginning of Brachas, says Rabbi Eliezer Omer Shalosh Mishmaros Havalayla. The night is broken into three watches. I'll call Mishmar Mishmar Yeshiv Kadosh Baruch Hu Shoy Gari Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the switching of the Mishmaros. So he, so to speak, he roars like a lion. Shemar Hashem Emaram Yisag, and quotes the pasuk over there. But the Gemara says something very interesting. It says Mishmar Rishayna. If you want a simon for the Mishmar, and the Gemara is going to discuss when is the simon, the beginning, the end, in the middle, where is the simon? But the sign for the Mishmar is the first Mishmar is a donkey brays. The second one, klavim tzayakim, the dogs howl. And the third one, tinok yonish de'imai, their baby nurses from its mother, v'isha mesaperes imbal, and woman speaks to her husband. So, very cryptic Gemara. Obviously, there's something more to this. Because what does it mean? This, if you listen every night, the first watching, you hear like, hee-haw, and then in the middle of the night, you're going to hear, arr! And then, you know, women are speaking, and who doesn't, not every woman has a baby. Like, what exactly is it supposed to mean? So, a lot of Svarim that discuss this say these are Kabbalistic concepts. There's something going on that's referred to as the donkey brain. There's something called the dog's barking. There's something called, you know, the mother. There's a lot of other things going on over here. I just want to point out to you that the Gemara goes on to say, wait a minute, where's the simon? The simon is in the beginning? If the simon's in the beginning, then what do you need a sign for the last one for? The first one? You know when the night begins. If it's in the beginning, you know when the first one begins. Nighttime.
You know when it ends because
you know when it ends in daytime. So you know when the last one's at. So Gemara ends up saying, no, it's the end of the first one, and the beginning of the last, and the middle of the middle one. But for our purposes, the Gemara does suggest that the dogs are in the middle of the middle watch. When's the middle of the middle watch?
Chatzos
Alayla.
The cuckoo clock.
Right. This just thing. It's a ruru clock. So. It's in the middle of the night. And the guy says, oh, the Pshatim really agree to that. That's what he claims. But there's at least an approach, if not everyone, that holds that this idea of the dogs howling is at Chatzos Halayla. So the question becomes, what's the significance of this? What do you mean the dogs howl in the night?
It looks just like the dog I used to have. He's identical.
Oh, by the way, the title of this year on the paper here is Silent Salukis, yeah? You know what a Saluki is? I had to look this up.
Is that Hebrew?
So you look it up when you get a chance. Look up Salukis when you get a chance, you know?
Salukis?
Yeah, look up Salukis. And you'll understand why I called it Silent Salukis. Yeah, you'll look it up. So, okay, so what's going on with the Mishmaris over here? So the Chizkuni says...
It looks like a brown Dalmatian.
Yeah. So those dogs you'll see on all of the Egyptian like hieroglyphics and all these kinds of things.
Right,
the Egyptian
yeah, dogs,
that's the dogs that you'll see.
Yeah,
it's
you're
called
right.
A Saluki. So Silent Salukis is the title of the show. Okay.
So the dogs belong to the Egyptians, obviously.
Ooh.
$19,000 for a dog? Is that real?
That's also a good question. Yeah. The Gemara does seem to imply that the Jews might have had dogs as well. So it's not so simple.
That's a Masorah that we should have dogs?
It's a Masorah that they might have had them, yeah.
You know what? They had so much cattle.
Yes.
You need the sheep dogs.
Yeah, Yaakov Avinu had dogs for his sheep. He had at least 600,000 dogs.
But Yaakov Avinu had 600,000 dogs.
It's a Medrash. The Medrash says Yaakov Avinu had 600,000 dogs.
That's
hard to remember.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So
anyway, but I didn't bring all that other things in. That's so complicated. You can't, that's easy to work out.
You're not allowed to walk your dog on the shop?
You can't. No, you can't.
One of those things
I don't think he had a leash for each one of them.
What?
Is that one of those?
Imagine holding 600,000 dogs in your hands.
Like this.
With leashes.
Can't do that.
I did not include that in my Mikomos because it's going in a direction I didn't want to go in. But there are a lot of
Mikomos.
What?
That means...
Okay. Hiskuni. Lo yacharad kelev lushoinun. Minega klavim linevoya achar chatzois lefi shehu mishmartan. The Hiskuni writes that you know why the dogs are barking? Why are the dogs howling in the Yitzias Mitzrayim Makas Bechayreis? What do you mean? It's that time of night. So the chiddush of them not barking is a big chiddush because that's what they always do at that time of night. Now this is, of course, assuming
this
that's
where
what
the howling started. You know, the howling, a full moon in the middle of the night.
So Taka, it's interesting. It would be a full moon, right?
Yeah,
it would be a full moon because it's in the middle of the month. So Taka would be a full moon. But no, none of the Mefarshim mentioned that. There wasn't no werewolves or anything over here.
So Yaakov Avinu had 600,000 dogs.
I don't want to talk about that now.
But when they Israel, it was their dogs?
Not clear. It could be that they had dogs as well. Mr. Fisher had dogs too. But it could be the Jews also had dogs. Because there's a Medrash. I remember. But there's a Medrash that says that after Yamsuf, and the Mitzvah were dead, there's a Medrash that says that the Jews took their dogs to the Mitzri and they put their foot or the dog's foot on the Mitzri's neck. And said to the dog, that hand that used to beat me, eat it up. And the intestines from this person that did all these things to me, gobble them
after
up.
After Yom Sof?
When they died, when they were dead. All the Mitzvahs were dead. They went to their masters, their former masters, with their own dogs apparently, and said, you know, go ahead.
The only midrash I remember reading after Yom Shuv is that they gathered all the gold from the Yom Shuv.
Yeah, it's a midrash. It's a midrash. It's not the Pashup. It's not the Pashup. But that's the midrash. The Toldos Yitzchak writes, "The Chol Bnei Yisrael Yechar as Kelev Lushanei Perush Shemin Aroy Hayesh Nivach Lefi Shehamake Haisa B'Mishmarishnia Shaklavim Soyakin." Same idea that the whole Maka was exactly at midnight, right? Which, according to the Gemara, at least one opinion, if not all of them, that's exactly when the dogs howl. That's the time of night it's supposed to be. Lizel Amar Im Kozel Yechar as Kelev. Nonetheless, they're still not going to be making their noises. And he includes some other reasons as well. Let's go a little bit deeper. So the Rikanti, which of course is all Skula Kabbalah, so he writes, this may be related to the Malach HaMavis as well. L'chol b'nei Yisrael, in other words, what we're trying to approach over here and understand is what's pshat in the Chamor is braying in the first watch, and the second watch is the dog, and the third watch are people. Like, what is that all about? L'chol b'nei Yisrael yecharetz kelev l'shoneh kvar yamazti l'chasoid mishmar eshniya klavim soyakim, which we'll see in a minute. That's the other Rikanti that's quoted next. It's a hint that Midas Hadin, which is expressing itself in Mitzrayim at the time, will not express itself at the Jewish people.
By a chamor?
No, the dog.
Wasn't that evident? For some take Mitzrayim?
Yeah, but it was being held back. So this is related to this idea that evil will close its mouth. What we're approaching now, I'm just going to hint to it. We're approaching now is there's something to do. Again, the question I asked in the beginning was, it doesn't focus on the feelings of the Jews. It focuses on the action of the dog. And the action of the dog is not so much like, it doesn't say bark. It's just like Yecharatz Kelev. It's like a funny thing. It's like it won't be able to use its words properly. It won't be able to express its language. Like, what's that all about? So we know Midas Adin is an accuser. So there's something going on over here with the prevention of accusations against Klal Yisrael that night. That's what it means.
What is the dog?
That's what we say. Hold on. Midas Adin. That's where we're at. It's Midas Adin. Zeu miyad kelev yichidasi. There's a pasuk in Tehillim also references this as well. You can look it up. That there's something called the kelev, which also is related to Midas Adin. That's why the dogs are crying out with the Malach HaMavis, because the dog is related to Midas HaDin. And the Malach HaMavis obviously is Midas HaDin. I saw from one of the students, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, write that one time there was a dog and he was crying out and his tail was between his legs, yeah? And he was sticking, he was like hanging out by the sides, by, you know, the side of the street or whatever. He was terrified of the Malach HaMavis. So some guy came and pushed the dog to the place it was trying to run away from. When Mesa Kelev the Alton, the dog died. And he knew, the dog knew that the Malach HaMavis was different. That was a dangerous place to be. So when he pushed him back there, so the dog died. So what did the Rikati say about the Mishmaris? So in Parshas Vayera, Rabbi Yachavosh is Chamoiroi. That's when Avram Avinu saddled his own donkey. You will not find a donkey mentioned before that of Avram Avinu. I'm not surprised. You should know that that's a reference. It's the same donkey, so to speak, that we mean is the donkey that brays in the first watch. What do you mean? This is going to be very fuzzy, but we'll try to make it a little clearer. He says the Gemara in Brachas, it says in the three Mishmaris of the night that the first one is the Chamor, no, they have this donkey brain. Shnia Klavim Tzayakim Shlish is Isha Mesaperes in Bala, the Natinok is nursing from its mother. Vine HaMishmar HaRishayna HiMitzad HaChesed.
Switch that around?
No. The first Mishmar is Mitzad HaChesed. Now remember, we know that nighttime is din, right? So yes, nighttime is din. But this is... What do you mean?
The language. First, the Gemara talks about Tinok Yonik Mishdein.
That's the third one, that third watch.
Right, but then she's talking to her husband.
Okay, yeah. The nighttime has to do with Midas HaDin. So the first watch is Chesed within Din. Okay.
It's either Din or Chesed.
No, so there can be mitigations of Din, right? There can be mitigations in the Din. Because it's Avram Avinu, that's the Chamor. It represents Avram Avinu. We'll see a cool remnant to this in a minute. And that's why Chazal see a hint, and you're not allowed to plow with a shor and a chamor at the same time, because it's a hint to certain forces of accusation. Nitzach lefresh yachaveshes chamoroi. So Avram Avinu is saddling. He's binding the chamor. Milashin Rabbi saying is a chavush bebeis haasurim. That there, you can take something that in and of itself would be a certain midas adin and constrict it and keep it from doing something. So Avraham Avinu in his midas achesed is pushing back against midas adin. So now there's the underlying part over here. The middle of the night is the strongest din of the night, and that's why it's called that the dog is crying out. Kelev, he means Haranefesh Ha'Echeles, Yitzchak. Yeah, Gvura. So that's the Nefesh Ha'Echeles. That is it's never satisfied. Midas Adin is never satisfied, and the dog is never satisfied. That's hinted to the idea that there won't be any opportunity of accusation against the Jewish people in Midas Adin. Yeah, but Chatzos Alayla, because that's exactly when they were supposed to be leaving, was Chatzos. No, even though that's the time of Din, nope, it's being blocked up. That's what the pasuk means, that even the accuser will not be allowed to open his mouth towards Klal Yisrael. That's what it means. Yecharatz Kelev Shoinoi. And the third one, okay, we'll skip that, whatever exactly the third one refers to. So in the Drashas, Ribbon, how do you pronounce his name? Shuib. So he was a Talmud of the Rashba. I don't know, maybe it's related to Rab, maybe. And he was a Talmud of the Rashba, it's Sephardi. And in explaining the significance of the blood on the Shtei Mezuzos and the Mashkoif, see, he says, you see, there are three things. There's the two doorposts and the lintel on top. He says, because it's a reference to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And Yaakov's on top, right. So that's what he's referencing over here, because the Mezuzos are Avram, Yitzchak, Yomin, and Smol. And Yaakov is the Mashkoif HaMachria, the balance between the two, the key thing, the support, the Tiferes is going to be the lintel on top. And that's what's really going to save Klal Yisrael. And that's when it says, where's the pasuk? Vezachart is Brisi Yaakov first. Vafas Brisi Avram Yitzchak, they come second. But Brisi Yaakov comes first. So he says, Rabbi Seinu Zal, Nasnu Simonim Bela Mishmaras, in Gemara Brachas, a hint to the mezuzahs and the mashkoif. The first one is the donkey, and the second one is the barking of the howling of the dog. And the third one, we know. Okay. Yesh b'dvar meil inyan gadol. So I'm going to skip to the second paragraph. And he says, v'aderech papnimi, who remembers the mezuzahs and the mashkoif, chamor noer, the donkey braying, the chsev, v'yashkem avram v'lgev, v'achavosh is chamoro, just like the Rikanti said, v'hu b'ruges rachem tizkor. So if you're paying attention to the letters here, pay attention to the letters. It says, b'ruges, when the Kadosh Baruch Hu Chas V'Shalom is angry, rachem tizkor, chesed and din, right? He remembers his rachamim. Yeah? What's the letters of rachamim? Rachem, yeah? With same osios as chamor, yeah? Chamor is rachim. Yeah. And how many limbs do we have? How many parts of the body?
272.
Right? Ramach evarim. Right? That's ramach. Same letters, right? Rachim, chamor. All the same letters. V'chein k'siv b'pinchas. When Pinchas was back up one step. Remember Pinchas? There was a tremendous din against Klal Yisrael, right? He was doing terrible things, and he brisi shalom because of what he did. What did he take? A roimach. Roimach, guess which letters? Yeah? Same idea. So the chamor represents the chesed shebedin. It represents the rachamim bedin. Now you understand why the Melech HaMashiach is riding on a chamor, he says.
Oh, love it.
Oh, that was very cool.
If I remember correctly.
Because whatever din is happening, he's changing it to the rachamim. Yeah. What? I bet. When Moshe Rabbeinu is coming to save Klal Yisrael and all there is against Klal Yisrael is din, he's riding on his donkey. There's no doubt that same donkey is going to live all the way until the times of Mashiach. Okay, what about the dogs? The dogs are a reference to din in its essence, gevura. What? It's in the drashos of Yehoshua ibn Shuib, I guess. I pronounce his name. I pronounce that. Shuib, something like that. The Talmud of the Rashba. He was like a contemporary of the Ritva. Something like that. That time is the time when that's what everything's rooted in. That's all of the din, the accuser, and the blood, and the sword. Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure because that's the Vashem. I'm not sure, but I think all of this is all on the same page. We're all on the same page here. That's the time of night that's shayach to the accuser to meet us at din, and it's mamish, you know, punkt in chatzos is like the worst of it all, and that's when the dogs are supposed to be going aru. What do you mean they're all going aru? It doesn't mean that they're howling necessarily. It means to say that that's the time of night that the accuser has full power. So he opens his mouth, he accuses, and terrible things, Rahman al-Slam, can happen. So the Rabbeinu B'chaye, so he writes al derech ha-kabbalah, that the dog represents the most physical type of thing. Right? This idea that the dog is never satisfied. Right, et cetera, et cetera.
They eat, you know, on that. You ever see a dog that never satisfied? This, it might seem a little weird, but like a dog eats.
Yeah. And he eats to vomit too.
He eats 5 times in a row.
Yeah, he'll even chew his cut and he still does that.
No, also eat till they
die.
Anyway, he says, and the koach of Minas Adin is never satisfied. And because a nevela and a treifa are killed from the koach of the mashchis, it's not with kedusha, it's not with shchita or anything like that. That's why they're given over to the dogs. Shenemar lekelev tashlichen oso, specifically by the treifa. But in any case, he says because they have that in common, they're both from the same side. They both share the koach in common. So when it says that the dog isn't going to bark at klai, so ki hakelev charutz haloshen, kinyan shekasev of a nochash, vein yisrael nabal haloshen, that the dog also has this capacity of barking, of saying things of this with his words, so to speak, just like we find by the nachash, the ein yisra nabal halashan. Yeah, we learned this. Yeah, the ein yisra nabal halashan, that the tongue has this disability.
Oh, this is on the second paragraph.
The ein yisra, right? I mean, what does he get from it? Like yesa, like he can do it forever because it doesn't satisfy anything. You can get accused forever. It's not something you're getting in return. It's a constant hanoah of just saying it. So all this comes to Midas Adin, Kobachar Mitzrayim, Midas Adin Atzumah Bechatzi Alayla, like we said before, that the worst time of Midas Adin is in the middle of the night. So he says more and more and more. He says, the Neis HaGadol, Ki Oseh Shashaya Kelev Chareitz L'Shana La Mitzrim Lo'ya Chareitz L'Chol B'nei Yisrael. That the Midas HaDin wasn't given a capacity at all to accuse B'nei Yisrael of anything that night. Because it could have, like the Netziv was saying, that there were Rishayim in Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael themselves weren't necessarily such big tzaddikim, but Midas HaDin was closed up, and that the Kelev wasn't allowed to speak. That ends up saying whether it was the mitzvim which are mitzad hakelev or Yisrael which are mitzad Hashem Yisparach. So we're going to distinguish between the two. These two things are totally different worlds. So that's what he says. What I find absolutely fascinating about this is that this brings Yitzias Mitzrayim full circle. Because what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Now I know. Achena hadavar. What was it?
Lashon Hara.
Because since they were saying Lashon Hara, so the Midas HaDin had full ability to accuse them, just like we're accusing other people. So
Midas
accuses us. Midas Keneged Mida. So this was a big Neisa. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, said no. We're closing it up because I can't have any accusations against you.
It's like
full circle.
Manipulate the
full circle.
Let's get there.
So let's finish this up. So
let's get to the Mashiach.
No, I know you're right. But in the Chidush Agadas of the Maharal, so he says, you know, there's the night of the Seder is called Leil Shimurim.
Right, Leil Shimurim.
So he writes, why is it Leil Shimurim? Why is it Leil Shimurim? What's so special about the night? Why not? Why aren't Mezikim? Why don't there's any control of anything that has to meet us on this night? Guess what Pasuk he quotes? Wow, that's cool, huh? Kilehayom mezikim shaltim. Lahazik is nothing was allowed to hurt Klai Yisrael that night. So, by the way, the next is Encyclopedia Talmudis over here. So he just collects all kinds of Mari Makomos that it has to do with Lashon Hara, and this is absolutely unbelievable. Chachamim said about a person that says Lashon Hara, Val Makabel Lashon Hara, and a person that gives Eidus Sheker, all these things with the words, but whatever is included in that, Sheroi Lashlicham Leklavim. Such a person is roi to be thrown into the dogs. Why the dogs? Why not the lions?
Obviously, because that's in the din.
Exactly. You see the tzushta, it's mamash perfect. Because the whole idea of Lashon Hara is giving koach to the accuser. So that's exactly anybody that uses
side,
their...
If you don't speak Lashon Hara, guess what?
The dogs can't hurt you.
Yes, the satan maybe can't
anyway,
hurt
so there's a lot more about what... Anyway, that's all related to the dog and the accusations and, you know, and all that stuff.
It goes back to what you said about the Egyptians, that their gods were...
Yeah, yeah, they also had. They also had.
The entire meat of the Mitzrayim was that their gods were dogs.
Yeah.
And it was because they were talking and shouting against each other.
Maybe. Could be related. So, anyway, but that's. Anyway, we'll just finish with this. So, in a lot of ways, there are a number of stories that point this out, and I mentioned this, you know, way back when, that Yetzias Mitzrayim is about the Koach HaDibur. It's about a capacity of Dibur to be expressed. Old Pesach. The ultimate Dibur is really a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Dibur, because when a Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks, he gets expressed in the world. And that's why the Torah was in Galus in Mitzrayim. We couldn't get expressed yet until we were out of there. The Koach HaDibur had to be brought into Mitzrayim. So this is bringing all of that full circle.
Which is why it's going to be the connection against Sarah Mars.
Yes, which is why the Sarasat Dibros also are connected, which didn't, we did not speak about that, but that also would be a good tie-in, that just like there are 10 plagues, there are 10 sayings that occur to create the world, and then they may very well parallel. Bracious, the Mahi Or, and Max Boren, right? Yeah. The what? Of course.
You know what I was referencing?
Of course.
How great is that?
Yeah, very cool.
Come on, it's very cool, right?
But, yeah. So, anyway, but that's what's going on with the dogs. You have all these different levels over here. On the Pashup Shah, you know, just the basic layer is that the dogs weren't barking, to, it would be peaceful, the tumult wasn't happening by Klal Yisrael. Level 2 has to do with more Ruchni types of things. There was no Malach HaMavis. Was there a Malach HaMavis? Not Malach HaMavis. How exactly did the Bukharim die and whatnot? But then on a deeper level, it all represents, Bedafka represents, it's all about this specific time of Midas Adin. Midas Adin was closed up. And that idea is because the Kelev represents the barking and the Lashon and the accuser. And so Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't give any capacity of the accuser to accuse Klal Yisrael that night. Says Amar, oh, that's why it's Leil Shimurim ultimately, that is true for the rest of history as well. But that it brings everything very much full circle to the Kelev.
We have to mechazer ourselves not to speak Lashon Hara. And that's it.
One of the things that are very important to work on to
that's the key. There's some key
the perfect with the perfect. What's the perfect? The show of the time. Show of the time.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's not speak of tomorrow.
Okay. Just go ahead.
I see what you did.